Hello, everyone. My name is Kara Burrell. Sometimes I go by Nuanceo. And today we're talking about Tim Ballard, the once celebrated Mormon hero, anti-trafficking crusader, subject of the film The Sound of Freedom. Today, he is publicly accusing the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the institution that shaped and elevated him, of being infiltrated by satanic ritual abusers. And yet, remarkably, he simultaneously insists that the church is truer than ever and that his testimony of its truthfulness has only grown stronger. So to understand how those two contradictory ideas can coexist and what that contradiction reveals, we need to examine how Tim Ballard's narrative has evolved since his excommunication and the church's highly unusual public denouncement of him in September 2023. Because what we're talking about here is not merely a dispute between former member of the church and the church leadership. This is actually going to be more of a case study in Christian white nationalist branding conspiracy theories and the dangerous incentives of persecution narratives. So everyone say hello and leave a like for my co-host, who worked with Tim for many years doing Book of Mormon evidence tours around America, featured him on his TV show, Nephite Explorer, testified against him in court, and so much more. He really knows the ins and outs like no one else. So thank you for being here, Ryan Fisher.
Thanks. I'm trying to move on from that chapter of my life, but that's all right. We guess we need to talk about it. Yeah.
Now, we make this Timmy Did What podcast because we feel like people deserve the truth, even if it's uncomfortable for powerful men or powerful institutions. So this work, it takes courage, it takes time, and it takes money. So if you want to help expose what we have coming, if you want to help expose lies and keep these episodes pumping out, the links to support us are below. Patreon for more behind the scenes tea. There's a donor box. There's a Venmo if you want to toss some fuel on the fire, because I've been following this for about 2 years and it is actually really heating up. Where we're at now, Tim Ballard has proclaimed that the Mormon church is infested with ritual satanic abusers. So Tim sent shockwaves through the Mormon community by appearing on a MAGA Christian podcast, Julie Green's show, earlier this month, saying this.
And that people that call themselves Christians and represent Jesus Christ could possibly involve themselves in such pharisaical activity. It's the ultimate backfire, because Jesus, they didn't, ironically, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints didn't count on Jesus. I wonder often if they prayed before or during this whole thing and said, Jesus, please, please help us to outsmart you and lie better so that we can not let you uncover the worst thing happening on the planet. But the church, you'll see the allegations about satanic ritual abuse that's been going on in Utah for probably decades. They knew I was looking into it because I told them. I was naively thinking they would want me to clean out satanic ritual abuse of children that's connected to people in the church. But no. No, we must be Pharisees first.
So he says all of that, yet it's still a very holy place. I don't know if the church's holiness is measured in parts per demon. Let's get back to the timeline. Mid-September 2023, the church released a statement directly to the media, specifically to Vice News, saying that Tim Ballard's actions were morally unacceptable. What does that mean? Well, the way that they did it, yes, it kind of went well beyond the typical internal confidential nature of church discipline. Soon after that, Tim Ballard was excommunicated. But it appears that Tim later appealed that and tried to be reinstated after like a standard 1 year waiting period. And that appears to have been denied.
Don't stop appealing your excommunication, Tim. Don't stop. We have new leadership now. We have a new prophet coming.
If they don't, look, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to insult anybody, but take this for the truth that it is. These people reduced my membership in the church to nothing more than a country club card, whose golf course I have no interest playing on, because the golf pro is the state president and those who instructed him to do this. That's what they did. That's why I said that's not going through the veil. They reduced it to a golf. It's hard for people to understand. You got to think of it with the story. That's why I'm telling you the story. I will never get rebaptized. I won't mock God. Now, people would say, of course. Now, for a year, I thought that I had to. I would feel sick to my stomach before my Lord and Savior if I got rebaptized so that I could legitimize. The only reason would be to legitimize the corruption and put another, you know, court of whitewash on the corrupt tomb. I'm not going to participate in that. I will not participate in lukewarmism. I cannot. Before my God, I cannot. I'm not going to legitimize something that hurt countless children that I've seen, their faces. I'm not going to do that. I will not get rebaptized. And if they want to let me back into the temple, because that's the only thing they've been able to take away from me, then that'd be wonderful. But I don't need, if they want to do a little clickety click in their system to, for their own souls, then they can do that and they don't even need to tell me about it. Does that make sense? It has nothing to do with me. This has to do with them and the Lord. It has nothing to do with me. So I don't have any more appealing to do. I mean, if I have to stand in the parking lot when my daughter gets married, sealed, that would be very sad. But I've also learned that blessed are those who are persecuted in the name of Jesus. So I'll just get more compensatory blessings. That's what I believe. And if that's what happens, that's what happens. I still want my daughter to be sealed in the temple.
But how do we know that Tim Ballard was excommunicated? Well, I'll tell you this. It's the one thing that John DeLynn and Tim Ballard actually agree on.
But they excommunicated me, which basically is them saying, you don't go to heaven.
Just received word that Tim Ballard has been excommunicated.
It's going to come out, okay? John DeLynn, I've never been interviewed by him, but please send this to him.
We'll leave it up to the audience to tell us what they think. If that rejection coincides with this new sharp pivot in his messaging. So before the church's statement denouncing Tim in September 2023, he publicly called the church leaders prophets, seers, revelators, their heroes who inspired him to do his mission to save kids. After the statement, though, those same leaders, or at least the officials around them, became part of his conspiracy that they're after protecting satanic child abuse and are after sabotaging him and his mission. Now, we get a new rant from Timmy. That is what has dropped this week. So from the very first moments of Tim Ballard's appearance on Troy Abel's pro-LDS channel, The Last Dispensation, it's an interview where he mentions that he's only doing because of the inflammatory things that he said earlier in the month on Julie Green's show. So now, though, he is focused to get his message out, especially when it comes to his standing with the Mormon Church. So Tim is going to present a version of events and to clarify why he was excommunicated, or at least what he wants the public to believe about it. So as we start, Ryan, help us examine the first message that he makes sure his audience hears. What's the key idea that he places as just the foundation of his entire interview?
Yeah, right out of gate of this PR meltdown, it's just a full-on nuclear meltdown, is a disclaimer or a retraction that he's demanding of the church that they retract all of the statements denouncing him and acknowledge the harm that they inflicted on him for the denouncement publicly and the excommunication. Demands that those in the LDS Church administration, PR, and media who participated in the coordinated effort to bring down Tim Ballard must publicly retract their reckless statements and acknowledge the devastating damage they inflicted not only on Tim's family, colleagues, and livelihood, ka-ching, but on the critical work of rescuing trafficked women and children worldwide. So there it is. That's what he's demanding.
So that's some intense stuff. So Tim insists the church should retract its official statements about him, which is a bold request, given that it's an international organization that already kicked him out a bunch of times and he wanted to get back in and they wouldn't let him get back in. So on what grounds are you going to force this institution to change its course? What leverage does Tim actually have to say any of this? Who needs redemption here? Whose reputation is really on the line?
Yeah. And so what leverage does he have? Apparently, he's got some new revelations about very sinister things that were happening in the Mormon Church. And so he went on a 2+ hour rant on a conspiracy theory on how he is going to single-handedly bring down the Mormon Church if they don't comply with his demands. And that's what we're going to get into. It's a wild ride, and you're going to have to do a lot of mental gymnastics and a lot of translation to what he's getting at. It's mixing scripture with conspiracy theories that are all merging into this cesspool of ideas that comes out in very incoherent manners. But we know the translation. We got an app that can speak Tim Ballard, and we'll decode that for you. So buckle up. This is a wild one.
Right, because we've spent years following the evolution of Tim's story, his fall from OUR, his legal battles, his smears of his victims, his alleged victims. And this moment feels like a turning point, because in his mind, the church isn't just wrong about him. It's actually part of a coordinated effort to silence his calling and like bring about the second coming of the Messiah. Like, do you hear what I'm saying? Like, his church is trying to stop him. The number one stopper of sex trafficked kids. So in this interview, Tim lays out
his worldview, where his mission, his enemies and the Mormon church, they all converge into one. So I'm going to move slowly, and I want you to listen closely, because understanding how Tim sees himself is key to understanding what he's fighting for. And Tim's leverage is just apparently that he now possesses some shocking revelations that are so explosive, so earth-shattering, that the church will crumble under the sheer weight of his YouTube upload button. So our job here isn't to mock every bizarre tangent, though believe you me, I would like to, and I still will. It's to translate what he's arguing, that he alone can bring down the church unless they admit that he is still the hero of this story. So to understand why Tim thinks that he can take on this entire church, we have to first explore the relationship that he believes gives him that power. Ryan.
To establish this whole case that Tim has been wrongfully prosecuted by, we'll find out who, he needs to reiterate how he's best bros with Elder Ballard, how his family is in so tight. According to his words, Elder Ballard loved him more than his own children. His words. So we got to start with replaying an interview this guy did with Catherine, in which she describes what that relationship looked like and how Elder Ballard had no idea that the church denounced him.
I'm just going to call. Maybe he won't pick up, but I'm just going to call. And I mean, I was nervous because there's this statement, and it's like, does he think that now? Like, is that, you know, I couldn't imagine it, because we love him and he loves us. Like, he just so loving, so loving. Anyway, so I called on the Friday afternoon, just after that statement came out. And it ends up that timing, of course, the way the Lord works, it was so perfect. I wouldn't have been able to get a hold of him at any other time because of where he had been. I don't want to get into
details. I know. I understand.
Yeah. So he picks up and I just talked to him, and I said, Elder Ballard, we don't understand what is the statement? And he said, what statement? And I said, there's this statement out in the news that the church is against him, and that you are against him, or, you know, I can't remember the exact wording. I'm paraphrasing. And he said, but I remember he said this, well, I know nothing about that. What are you talking about? Where is this? And I said, I think it's everywhere. That's what I'm hearing. It's like in Deseret. It's like everywhere. And he said, well, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah. So there it is. When the statement came out in Vice News on September 15th, it went around, especially the Mormon news cycle and many others. And it's interesting to me that Tim didn't think to call Elder Ballard, and they waited, I don't know how many days that was, before Catherine called him and then related this story that he knew nothing about it. So that's where the conspiracy starts. If Elder Ballard wasn't denouncing Tim, then who in the church was trying to take him down and why? And Tim's got a theory, and a very interesting theory on who's behind that and why. And that's what we're going to get into next.
Right. So for Tim's wife, Catherine, all of this is supposedly coming out of nowhere. And by the time the church issued this crazy, sharp public denunciation of Tim in Vice News, Tim had already been ousted from Operation Underground Railroad after an internal investigation found unprofessional behavior that violated OUR's policies and values. Meanwhile, multiple former employees and associates came forward with allegations of sexual harassment, spiritual manipulation, grooming, and abuse, all under the guise of undercover operators of the couple's ruse. And they all say that Tim Ballard orchestrated all of that. That could all be a coincidence. Maybe the church's statement did come out of isolation, apart from this other series of oustings. But Tim and Catherine don't really want the public to remember that all of that happened while OUR was already under scrutiny. The leadership transition was already underway. The legal complaints from alleged victims were already mounting, were they not?
Yeah, well, Tim's got an explanation for everything, and a very long one. And apparently there's a bunch more sinister things going on behind the scenes than simply a denouncement. So Tim starts off by naming a man named Doug Anderson, who is a PR spokesperson for the church. He has been for like 15 years. And he claims, he launches right into this, that he's been silent about something going on inside the Mormon Church for 2+ years, that he's been covering up or keeping silent, but now he just can't. He can't unsilence what, or doesn't want to keep silent on these things anymore. He's going to explain to what us what those are, but whatever it is, he's been silent on it for 2.5 years or 2+ years. And now he's coming out. Now we have to rewind to set the stage that shortly after the announcement of him publicly through Vice News and all the other news media outlets, he got excommunicated. And that's not hearsay. He's going to talk openly about what that was like and give us a window into his excommunication by his own free will and choice, and tell us what that was about. And so he was excommunicated. That was over a year ago. After you're excommunicated, you have to wait, I believe, at least 1 year before you can reapply for reinstatement in the church through baptism, which has to go through the first presidency. And that time has come and gone, and he is still excommunicated. So his appeals were obviously denied and by the first presidency, which would have been Russell M. Nelson, or if it happened like in the last couple of weeks, Dallin H. Oaks. But either one, Dallin H. Oaks was in the first presidency, the last one also. So those guys are out to get Tim. And now he's coming out in a rant against Doug Anderson, the PR person of the church and the Mormon church, and has some very, very wild, sinister claims that he's putting out there as somebody, of course, who is going to expose evil where he finds it. So that's who Doug Anderson is. And this is his theory on how this all went down and why they are attacking him.
And this is my last attempt to fight that one, because I'm done giving them. I gave them cover for 2 years out of respect, thinking someone would come forward. I can no longer do that. I now have visuals. I've seen videos of children like in Argentina that I couldn't go back and get, largely because of this lie from Doug Anderson. And I'm done. I'm done. I'm now going to expose it and ask people to, I'm going to ask the public, hashtag retract. Retract the statement. I don't need to.
Yeah, and I think that if the church were here, that they would say that Tim Ballard earned every word of that denunciation. Not just because they believe the women, but because I believe the women. So the couple's ruse, women have already come forward. They put their name and face and reputation on the line to speak out about some of the most humiliating experiences of their lives, where Tim Ballard spiritually manipulated them into sexual situations, claiming that sex traffickers could smell the pheromones, totally got to do husband and wife stuff to save the kids. And they spoke out, not like the Attorney General Sean Reyes, who's Tim Ballard's bestest bud, was going to do anything or investigate. OUR kicked Tim out, but gave him a hefty severance package. So hoping that the final nail in the coffin for Tim might be the LDS church that he belonged to, stopping this reign of abuse by denouncing Tim on this national stage. That's happening as much as we can hope it can happen. But when Tim Ballard gets a hold of his own narrative, he tells a very different story. He says that he was pushed out for completely different reasons. And that is what we're talking about today. Tim is here finally admitting that he was excommunicated from the church the same week in September 2023 that the church denounced him.
Well, first, my first stake president, who I met with every week, because right. I asked to, because not because I was confessing any sins, because I'm doing undercover work. And we have to pretend to be things and do things. And you know, it's very stressful. You know, but I want to make sure I have the spirit with me. So I met with him every week, standing meeting at my house.
So what Tim's explaining here is, like, when you are broing out with me and we're meeting regularly and I'm letting you in on the secrets of my operation and the couple's ruse, just to make sure that, like, you know that nothing crazy is going on. And if you bro out with Tim, you're totally cool. You're a judge in Israel is actually what you are. You know what? Because anyone who would excommunicate me, they're not a bro and they're not a judge in Israel. So put a pin in that for now. So he's explaining how it has this, like, really good relationship with the stake president, right?
Yeah, right on. And what I think people need to be aware of here is that every single predator that operates in spaces like in the church or in social groups or in workplaces, they get away with what they're doing by manipulating others, especially those that are in charge of them or have any sort of influence on them. So Tim, just like he manipulated and got the Attorney General Sean Reyes on his side to do very illegal, unethical things, he's got his, he's manipulating his stake president, and having him over once a week. And I love his Freudian slip, or his omissions of guilt. You know, he's like, I met with my stake president every week. Oh, wait, not because I was doing anything wrong. Not because I needed to repent or I was sinning. I was just doing stuff on missions that is like really, really like dark and sexual. And I just need to make sure that I have the spirit with them by checking in with my stake president. And I think they're probably bro sessions / confessing / making sure that he understood that he had to do these nefarious things in order to save kids, and then sell him on this concept that Elder Ballard gave me permission to do wrong things and it won't be held accountable by the church or God as long as it was in the effort to save kids. That's what Tim told me personally. And that's what I think he's telling the, he told me that. I'm sure he's telling his stake president that, and making sure the stake president was on board with the get out of jail free card that he got from the church.
Great guy. And he knew everything. Okay. And so he gets a call from the area president and says, you need to call Tim Ballard in for a disciplinary thing. And I'm just kind of laughing like, huh? And he calls me in, we talk, and he's like, yeah, I know this is all false. I know you. So thank you. So he then is told to elevate it. So they remove him. They remove him and bring in another one.
That was the reason he was released?
Well, I wasn't there. I'm not in the meeting, but I'm just telling you the fact. I can't give a reason.
Okay.
He was.
The timing.
Definitely. Right. Yeah, he was towards the end of what I think would be the full term of it. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what I know.
Go ahead.
So then I get a call from this other guy. He's been in for 4 days. The statements come out September 15th. He calls me in for a disciplinary council on September 25th, 2023. I don't even know what I've done. Is it financial? I can't read from the statement. What are the immoral things I did? I thought it was financial. And he wouldn't tell me much, so I showed up with like financial documents proving that I'd done project with Elder Ballard. And I've never used his name to raise money. That's what I thought it was about. So my wife and I are like digging around. I'm out of town. I'm back east. So I got to get on a plane. I have no time. They don't tell me what I did.
Yeah, Tim wants us to picture this relationship as best bros in the vineyard. And when you're close enough to having a weekly standing spirit check-in at your house, you're a judge in Israel. But if you ever think about excommunicating him, suddenly you're not a bro anymore and you're not a judge in Israel. This is manipulation through proximity and influence, something that men like to do a lot. Are you best friends with Elder Ballard? No. Well, you're small potatoes and you have to sign off on my behavior because an apostle does. Case closed. And I think for a long while that worked. But then the church said, excommunicate Tim. Tim's bro of a stake president. He refused. He's removed. This is Tim openly admitting that the church swapped out leadership until somebody would pull the trigger. And we've seen this domino effect before, where Glenn Beck defended Tim immediately. Then his own media company distanced itself. Glenn Beck now says that he believes the women. Sean Reyes, same pattern. And now the stake president, I don't know what's really going on, but could this be another case of loyalty at first until you get smacked in the face of reality and somebody else above you tells you that you need to fall in line? So I think Tim is acting like he's unaware that all of the things that he did, all of these things transpired. Just relax. Definitely not about the old semen on my assistant's skirt situation. This is about QuickBooks. As if the church somehow missed that OUR fired him for multiple sexual misconduct allegations. During the big premiere of his movie, Sound of Freedom, the allegations were in every major news outlet. So I think his organization removed him. That wasn't a surprise. He just refuses to accept that the consequences coming his way are about abuse and not accounting. He's like, half the women accusing me, I don't even know them. Sure, Tim. It's almost like all predators depend on plausible deniability until the victims don't stay silent.
And part of that investigation were other women that came forward with sexual assault claims that were settled behind closed doors. So the, you know, five women that came forward that fall, that summer, weren't the only ones. There was already a whole nother group of sexual assault allegations investigated internally at OUR. OUR handled them internally, settled with those women. Part of that was a gag order so that they can't speak about it publicly. And Tim's like, I had no idea. What could I possibly have done?
Right. So the church denounces him, excommunicates him. But Tim Ballard has a very different, very holy framing of why he was targeted. Here is the cope. Here's the core logical structure of Tim Ballard. This is what he is now spouting. LDS Church, God's tourist organization. Therefore, powerful evil forces have infiltrated it. Therefore, anyone punished by the church leaders may actually be righteous. Fulfilling prophecy, actually, even. It's, therefore, to Tim, in his case, his excommunication proves his divine mission, that he works on behalf of Jesus. So we are hot in the case of the manipulator's game. Gets authority figures to believe in his righteous cause. He uses that belief to shield himself from accountability. And then when that shield fails, he claims that he was given an unfair hearing. But his defenders are dropping like flies. His defenders are walking away in hordes. So he's jumping from organization to organization. And now he's calling out DNC 102 as a last-ditch defense. He is getting high on his own supply that any correction just becomes evidence that the corrector has been infiltrated. And it creates a very fascinating worldview in which he cannot be wrong because wrongness itself becomes proof of his divine calling.
I don't, is it financial? I can't read from the statement. What are the immoral things I did? I thought it was financial. And he wouldn't tell me much, so I showed up with like financial documents proving that I'd done projects with Elder Ballard. And I've never used his name to raise money. That's what I thought it was about. So my wife and I are like digging around. I'm out of town. I'm back east. So I got to get on a plane. I have no time. They don't tell me what I did. The other two are sweet and they're crying. I'm like, what is going on? And I sit down and he proceeds to tell me in front of my wife that I have had penetrative sex. He used the word penetrative. I remember that. And I'm just like, no, I have. I've had sexual intercourse with one woman my entire life, pre-marriage, post-marriage, during. She's sitting right here and she's crying. So, you know, please. Measure yourself. And I said, okay, who did I have sex with? I can't tell you. And I said, well, I need to have a counsel. DNC 102 gives me the right to have a counsel in all cases. Didn't say, except when the state president says I'm your judge in Israel and I can override that. Go read DNC 102. It's there's no way to misinterpret it, guys. It's even more sure than tithing. Tithing can be post-tax, not this. You're about to be accused. You're a public figure. You have a mission to rescue children. This is going to devastate everything. It's going to, and if there's any case, you need to follow the scripture to avoid injury and injustice. That's what the scripture says. You better follow this one. But he chose not to do that. I said, look, I don't think you're making this decision. It's your decision to make. That's the protocols. Are you? Yes, I'm making the decision. He told me multiple times. I said, I don't think you are. I think you're lying to me. You're being told by someone up here, the Gadians, to do something. They're making you a patsy in this. And they're gonna, your head's going to roll at the end of this when it all comes out. Nope, it's my decision. Humble and crying. Tearful, you know, appropriately sweet in the moment. He comes to me and to my bishop, Mark Stott, in the hallway at church and says, we didn't have a choice. He said, are you okay? I said, no, I'm not okay. He said, I've done nothing wrong and you have excommunicated me. And he said, we had no choice.
But believe me, that there's a plan.
This is his storytelling, his fictional storytelling in his mind where he takes events and then he like writes them into movie script hero mode where he's like standing up to the Gadianton state president. Your head's going to roll after this. Maybe they didn't have a choice because the evidence was so overwhelming that he was wrong. Now, I have a theory about this that I'm going to put out there as conjecture. We've talked about it. I don't think that the one woman that's in his stake coming forward with a sexual assault allegations, I honestly don't think that she would be believed to the point that they would excommunicate Tim over, you know, the women that have come forward. I just don't think they believe and they hold victims in that high regard. So why did the stake president have such compelling evidence to convict him and excommunicate him, take away his eternal salvation? That's no small thing in the Mormon church. And ruin his family's life, you know, take away his livelihood, you know, as a consequence of all that. There was obviously communication from the church office building down to him. They denounced him. They said that he did morally unacceptable things. Now, why were they so also convinced that Tim was irredeemable at that point? The audit and the internal investigation had recently concluded at OUR, And I believe that that investigation, the results of that, were provided to the church. Not only were there a lot of LDS church members on the OER board and on the payroll there, but they were trying to figure out how to do damage control. The church needs to find out how to do damage control. OER and the church are not, they've worked together by this point for 10 years. They had been closely working together for 10 years. And we can get into a whole nother hour long discussion on how that happened and how that was set up. So the internal investigation, the church was convinced that he was morally reprehensible, morally unacceptable behavior. I don't think it came from simply these women coming forward and saying that he had done some horrible things.
Right. So everyone ask yourself, what would have to be true of the church's internal evidence for them to act so definitively? Since when does the church excommunicate high-profile members based on one unverified claim from a woman, no less? Didn't we used to own them?
Yeah. The president, this new stake president, had only been in for 4 days. So he wasn't meeting with the women. He wasn't being influenced. He was getting orders or getting a report on Tim's crimes, for lack, or his nefarious, immoral, reprehensible, immoral behavior, whatever that is, from the higher ups. And I can't imagine that that wouldn't include the OUR investigation report.
So Tim's rhetoric, though, right now on Christian podcasts makes this explicit. He says the Gadianton robbers, that are a secret criminal conspiracy gang in the Book of Mormon, those same evil forces operate within the restored gospel today, that he references modern child trafficking and satanic ritual abuse, and then repeatedly ties them to Utah, insisting that some high-ranking church-adjacent individuals are involved, and told him not to go down that rabbit hole. Yet, he stopped short of accusing any apostles directly, because it's fascinating. He needs the church to be corrupt enough to justify his rebellion, but still divine enough to justify loyalty. You follow? It's a very narrow path. Make it make sense. So here Tim is trying to reconcile that paradox in real time.
Decision made by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I know deep states are real. I know that the best organizations in the world will be infiltrated. It's prophesied all over the scriptures that it's going to happen. So in beautiful irony, as I watch it happen, I'm like, oh, the prophets were right. The scriptures were right. This is going to happen. And it's important that everybody knows the truth about what's going on. And it's severe. The actions taken by certain people inside this corporation, I'll call it a corporation or an institution, that to me does not represent the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's very severe what they've done. They involved themselves in a mass conspiracy, potentially, civil, possibly criminal. I can't talk much about it. I know more than I can say. Okay. And I'm sorry if anyone got confused thinking that I've lost my testimony of the gospel. It's only increased. First of all, my faith in Jesus Christ is through the roof. And my understanding of his love for all people, like these Druze people. You know, I think sometimes I have been guilty of being a little myopic. Sometimes I thought.
No, that the sun... what? The white Mormon guy who went to Chile for 2 years to go serve a mission to preach the one and only restored gospel on the face of the earth through which you return to live with your Savior and Heavenly Father again, just realized he might have been a little myopic in his life.
Yeah, what made me like audibly laugh, the first part of his statement, though, is his logic that he's like, he says the best organizations are going to be infiltrated by evil people. And that's like proof that they're true, like his circular logic. But then he also, in the same sentence, says, I'm going to call it the corporation. So he refers to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as a corporation when he's talking bad about them. But then the good guys in the church, he's going to refer to as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So there's this shadow organization that's running things, and then the righteous people. And he's flip-flopping between the two. Like he himself cannot make up his mind on whether the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the Church of Christ or has been infiltrated by nefarious, evil, satanic pedophiles. That's the corporation part. But and he's just going back and forth, and it's like it's hurting my head hearing him talk.
The son of the house of Israel, you know, rose and set in Salt Lake City. And I've been guilty of that. That's not the truth. This was the restoration remnant, the times of the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. It did an amazing job. okay, and to watch that and be, have been part of that. But the gathering of Israel, let's be clear, is only a small percentage of that is beautiful young men in white shirts and sisters in dresses teaching the gospel.
So he's referencing the time of the Gentiles coming to an end there. Now, I spent a lot of time with him, and I know these scriptures very well, and I'm going to interpret what he's referring to here. He's saying that in the scriptures, there's the time of the Gentiles, that's going to come to an end, and then the house of Israel, the second coming of Christ is all going to be ushered in at that point. He's claiming that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who is being ran by Gentiles, are not Jews, they're Gentiles in America, their time is coming to the end, and they are the watchmen that have fallen asleep at the tower. So he's framing his entire excommunication process as the end of the time of the Gentiles. And that's why he was excommunicated, because it's been infiltrated and it's going to be go away. And he's going to use other scriptures in here, like upon my house, it shall begin, from my house, it shall go forth. And he's going to write himself. He is writing himself into the Old Testament, into the prophecies of Isaiah, into the prophecies of the Book of Mormon. And so myoptic, it's, yeah, it's that, but also so egocentric that he reads the scriptures and he sees himself in the scriptures prophesied about that. And that'll become obvious as he goes further down this delusional path of self-aggrandizement. So buckle up. It's crazy.
The second time to gathering when he sets his
6 million.
Well, look.
Christ, God is good, and we stand together. Let's go.
There's only 6 million.
Well, look. But look, that's part of it. But that's not the great gathering when he sets his hand a second time. Right. In fact, the scriptures are very clear. He says, when I set my hand a second time to gather Israel, you will know when I'm doing that, when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Okay, so there comes an end to the current, according to the scriptures, the current system, the current institution. You know, it's never going to go away. Better not. No, it's not. It's going to stay. It might change some of its mission to support the gathering of all people. Read John, read Revelation. Read DNC 101, the nobleman in the vineyard. Look what happens. The Lord comes to set his hand a second time in the vineyard, yeah. And he calls servants to come in. And we have to be honest with the fact that there's watchmen on the tower that weren't doing their job. Isaiah calls them the drunkards of Ephraim. And there's a problem. It's okay. This shouldn't affect your testimony.
No.
If anything, it should increase your testimony, because the prophecies that are scattered throughout Doctrine and Covenants, Book of Mormon, all the standard works is being fulfilled.
Are you following what he's saying? He's like, the time of the Gentiles is coming to an end. It's prophesied that the watchmen on the tower that are over the house of Israel, i.e. the leaders of the church, are asleep. That's what it says, are asleep at their post. And that is, and the gathering of Israel is about to happen when the time of Gentiles, he's saying the gathering of Israel is happening now. He's in Syria finding the Druze who want to be gathered. He's being excommunicated by the watchmen on the tower that have fallen asleep at their post. And are excommunicating the true servants that have God has sent into the vineyard, i.e. me, Tim Ballard. So all of this self-aggrandizement is veiled language. What he's saying is that he is one of the true servants that God has called to come in the vineyard to gather the lost tribes of Israel. That's why he's in Syria. And he's being excommunicated and harassed by the watchmen in the tower that have fallen asleep at their post and are attacking the true servant. You follow? So he had full on wrote himself into the prophecies of the Old Testament, New Testament, Book of Mormon. Like, you don't get more egocentric or self-aggrandizing than that. That those prophecies we're talking about, Tim's saying those prophecies were talking about me.
Yeah. Well put. Thank you, Ryan. Big round of applause for your brain working on hyperspeed to debunk his bullshit here. Amazing.
Yeah, but your joy is only great, as I see it, if you love the Lord and Jesus Christ is your God, and you have not let people carrying bad ideologies, the very ideologies and traditions of their fathers, let's say, that are represented in DNC 101. Elder Holland just told us a few weeks ago, read DNC 101. We're in the last days. Read DNC 101. We're in the last days. I mean, guys, you got to wake up to what's going on. And there are people that have infiltrated the church at different levels. And that becomes manifest when you find out that there's cover-ups. There's a hit on people trying to discover satanic ritual abuse in the church. The Glenn Pace memo, go listen to Jason Preston. I don't know everything he says. I'm not working with him. He's doing his thing. I'm doing my thing. What they did to me, and more importantly to the...
Yeah. Yeah, he just full out says it right there that that the church has been infiltrated, and proof that's been infiltrated by evil people is the satanic ritual abuse that's happening in the church. And he referenced the Glenn Pace memo, which is a memo by a presiding bishopric, presiding bishop for the church in the 90s, did an investigation and found that there were people committing satanic ritual abuse within the church. And then Jason Preston on this YouTube channel is taking that and running with it. That's old news. It's been around. Those claims have been around for a long time. And there's some validity to some of those claims without question. Is it institutional, like across the entire church? I have no freaking idea. Neither does Tim. Actually, he thinks he does. And he explains that he's brought this to the attention of an apostle who told him to keep quiet about it. but again, it's an explanation. Why would the church excommunicate Tim? It's because it's been infiltrated. And so that's like an absolute bombshell claim that he's claiming that the higher ups, the apostles of the church, are fully aware of satanic ritual abuse of children happening. And so now, again, Savior Tim's going to come in to expose that. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he lost an appeal for reinstatement to the church. I'm sure it has nothing to do with that. He still wears a garment. He's still a righteous dude. He reads his Book of Mormon every day. He should have been reinstated. But for some reason, the church wouldn't give him his membership back, wouldn't give him his temple recommend back. And I'm sure he's not jaded, because he forgives everybody. He doesn't hold grudges, as he said himself. So it must be some sort of conspiracy about satanic ritual abuse that's going on.
Oh, I will get into everything, because everybody deserves to know that this is all coming out in ways I can't control anyway.
Okay.
There are civil and criminal conspiracies all over, potential charges, civil, criminal, potential, everywhere in multiple countries. And a lot of it is concentrated in Utah. And what I'm going to tell you as I answer these questions, Troy, is everything I say, I can't lie, guys. I have given this testimony, or will be giving this testimony, under oath in court. Is that clear?
So he just has said that he's going to testify about this in court, about these conspiracies against him. I guess that means that he's suing the Mormon Church over defamation and over political assassination of his political career. Yeah, I guess he's taking the Mormon Church to court over this. He says he's going to testify about these in court. And if that's true, it's really, really dumb that he's spilling everything on these podcasts, first of all. But yeah, if Tim Ballard's going to sue the Mormon Church, that's the turn of events I didn't see coming.
Exposure. Okay, don't be upset if the true church of God and true churches and true governments have been infiltrated. The U.S. government also was infiltrated. They tried to assert the authority of the people, but it was built, read my books, it was built upon godly principles. Good things get infiltrated, and the more good they are, the more they're going to get infiltrated. That's a sign that they're real.
Yeah, I know that I said that the church is infiltrated with satanic sex rituals, but it's a sign of a true church. That's There's going to be some stragglers. Okay. Man, that Mormon ad now of the ice cream with the cockroach in it sure did come to beat the church on the butt when Tim Ballard has something to say about it. All good ice creams are going to be infiltrated by cockroaches, as it turns out. So that was an ad to make us not watch PG-13 or R-rated movies growing up.
I remember that. I haven't thought about that in years.
Oh, I think about it every day, where it's the nuance hell is just like, you know, nobody's perfect. Sometimes your ice cream has cockroaches in it. Eat it anyway. That's the gospel. That's kind of what Tim Ballard's logic is.
Fact, that's proof that ice cream is
ice
good.
Cream anyway, it's why would cockroaches get in the ice cream if it wasn't good? Oh, what? Totally missed that. What do cockroaches know that I don't about strawberry sherbet?
In fact, it can't be good ice cream unless it has cockroaches in it.
Literally the best ice cream shops in town, cockroach infested. Oh my gosh. The reviews, God. Yelp, couldn't care less. Cockroach reviews, all I pay attention to.
Oh
Oh, God.
Oh.
Wonderful. Oh, wonderful, Tim. Thank you. Oh, all right.
He's so insightful.
Now, after his public denouncement and the excommunication, Tim has entered the I still wear my garments while suing the factory that made them era, which is fascinating, narcissistic. But Tim claims that he works and answers to Jesus alone, and that Jesus said it was time to clean house before the big JC comes home. And Tim's the one to do it, because if there's one thing the savior of mankind needs before the second coming, it's to go back to his church and have a bunch of lawsuits from Tim Ballard to go through. Now back to the timeline. September 2023, the church issues a statement that we all know and love, saying Tim Ballard's conduct is morally unacceptable. That statement came from top church leadership. That came from the prophet. But Tim insists that it was Doug Anderson, the PR guy, who went off script on behalf of the deep state. According to Tim, Doug is basically a deep state operative inside the one true church. The one true church on the face of the planet. If the church can be overthrown by a mid-level manager named Doug, maybe it wasn't built upon the rock of revelation after all. Something to think about.
Something. If I was all agitated on the roofs overlooking Jerusalem, understand that for the last 2 years, since that defamation statement came out from Doug Anderson, I am fighting two enemies the entire time. We can get into this. Ask me about Argentina as an example. Everywhere I go, traffickers and pedophiles, godless leftists use the statement attributed to Doug Anderson, who is the PR director for the church. Okay. They use that to run cover for traffickers. In other words, I go down there and then they start quoting, well, if the LDS church said he's bad and said he did these things, he must be bad. Let's kick him out of our country. Yeah. It's not the God-fearing that are doing this, by the way.
He's saying that because Doug Anderson, who is some political hack job leftist shill for the info that has infiltrated the Mormon church, issued that denouncement of him publicly. That's right. He's the traffickers are using that to run cover to get him kicked out of places like Argentina. Well, all you got to do is do a quick search, Tim Ballard, Argentina. And what you'll find is that he got kicked out because of his involvement in coercing, somebody in the judicial branch to do him personal favors. He was accused by the Argentine government of espionage. He's also had a co-conspirator who was claiming to be working for the CIA from that worked with him and Aerial Recovery, who actually wasn't with the CIA. So there's a whole slew of different allegations, including 23 charges of abuse by somebody in Argentina against Tim, and other indictments have come out. And so there is like 30 plus different accusations against Tim and how he conducted operations in Argentina that got him kicked out of the country, got him accused publicly by the government of Argentina of espionage and influencing judges and trying to use his influence and money for political favors. None of that's relevant, because he says that it was all because Doug Anderson issued a denouncement of him that went to Argentina, and somehow the traffickers use that to get him kicked out of Argentina. No, Tim, it's the 30 different criminal charges and unethical behavior that Argentinian government has issued against you. And anybody with a Google search window can look up Tim Ballard Argentina and read all about it. It's being covered in the Argentinian news and elsewhere. So fact check, false. I'm sorry.
Doug Anderson got me kicked out of Argentina because they love reading Vice News.
Yeah, and how is it possible
that
a statement from the church calling Tim that he did morally unacceptable behavior, how is that beneficial to the traffickers? First off, they don't even know who Tim is. He's undercover, right? And when he's not undercover, how are they using that for cover? I mean, it just absolutely makes zero sense how that would have any implication. But this is textbook Tim Ballard of denying and then deflecting blame, because he did the same thing to Sasha Hightower, who accused him of sexual assault. And then he said, well, her claims have caused children to be trafficked because now I was compromised in Mexico and elsewhere. And so the blood of these children that he couldn't rescue because of what she claimed is on her hands.
Yep.
And so, of course, he's just anybody that accuses of anything, they are now working for the pedophiles. They are now the blood of the children are on their hands. And he's just he hurls blame at them. But the biggest stretch is the church's denouncement of him somehow got him kicked out of Argentina. And it wasn't the 30 other criminal espionage accusations that the government of Argentina hurled against him. I guess, I don't know. That's what he's claiming.
Yeah. So next, he tells a story about warning an apostle that Utah was crawling with ritual abusers and being told, don't go down that rabbit hole. Is that true? Or is that just polite Mormon way of saying, please stop sending us InfoWars links? I do not know. Yet, crucially, Tim adds that this apostle who supposedly told him to ignore child rape is one of the good guys. He's one of the good guys. Don't think that he's not a good guy. Who I was talking about, still a good guy. So he's condemning the leadership while exonerating them at the same time. The apostle in question, most certainly M. Russell Ballard, no relation, his longtime mentor, friend, business partner, they don't like talking about. But Tim describes Elder Ballard as the most Christ-like man that he'd ever met, a grandfather figure who blessed his daughter in the hospital. He claims that he uncovered satanic rings inside Utah, but instead of, you know, investigating, he kept touring the world for photo ops with crying children and recruiting converts and selling books. When asked why he did not pursue what he explains, that the truest things get infiltrated, which seems like Tim Ballard's thing. Every new trend, Tim hops on: Book of Mormon, Geography of America, Ukraine, Syria, Sound of Freedom movie. He is there with a camera and a donate button. If tragedy, put it this way, if tragedy were a punch card, Tim would have earned a free smoothie by now. And by smoothie, I mean the kind of privates that they give you in the Mormon Celestial Kingdom. About to attempt some Olympic level gymnastics, because Tim is going to explain how this institution, allegedly infiltrated by satanic abusers, also true Church of God, testimony stronger than ever, a gold medal contradiction routine, if there ever was one.
The 300,000 children missing, okay, they got trafficked by the Biden HHS. Satanic ritual abuse, which unfortunately is going to be tied to Utah. I knew that, and I was looking into it, okay? Now, let me just get this in here. When I learned about this, I went to one of the 12 apostles. I won't name the name. And I thought, look, we got to clean this up. This is attached to entities and people very much associated with the church. And I was told these exact words: please do not go down that rabbit hole. Okay. And I'm sorry. I answered to Jesus alone. And when you tell me not to help a child who's being raped, I'm not going to take that. That's not how we're supposed to live our lives. We're supposed to go to Jesus, and some of the watchmen don't want you to live your life that way. I'm not saying this particular apostle was that. I actually love this person.
I'm not
going to go too deep into this.
Let's pause. Multiple claims going on here, all huge, all contradictory. And most important, what did Tim do next? Did he expose child ritual rape in Utah, or B, continue to partner with the church leaders that he claims are obstructing child rescue? Because if he actually had evidence of satanic ritual abuse inside the church, should that not be priority number one, right? Instead, kept doing his own thing in the other countries, fundraising, making merchandise, having people go down this Mormon conversion pipeline where he says, take the sizzle of the rescue and lead people to the covenant. That's what he describes in his own whiteboard business pitch. So Ryan, how does Tim not realize, like, you're exposing yourself as a fraud? This is an indictment on you, homeboy.
Yeah, he was intimately involved in the upper leadership of the church, especially with Elder Ballard. I was in meetings with them, both of them, from 2013 all the way till 2023 when he's excommunicated. So throughout that entire 10-year period, he's saying that he knew about ritual sexual abuse in the Mormon church and did nothing besides talk to an apostle about it, and who told him, according to Tim, not a trustworthy source, I know, but let's just take his story and dissect it. He told this apostle that will be unnamed that this is going on, we need to clean it up. And the apostle told him to not go down that rabbit hole. But then he says, but like just two sentences later, you know, but that's because there's some nefarious people in the church, not this apostle who just told me to not look into the rape of children that was happening in the church. So he's trying to say both ways. He's saying this apostle told him to stand down, but that apostle is also, he's not one of the bad guys. And so, like, even right there in his own story, he's got this like cognitive separation where there's this dual personality that's telling him the church is true, the apostles are great men. No, they're evil, satanic ritual abusers. And he's switching within mid-sentence, within mid-thought between those two contradictory points. So I don't know where you go from there, what you can actually believe that comes out of this guy's mouth.
Exactly. And what can you really believe from Tim if he truly believed that leadership was blocking him from saving kids from ritual abuse? If he does, then that should be the moment that you walk away and you scream it from the rooftops instead of taking more photos and cashing more checks. All I can say is it looks like the only thing that he rescued in that scenario is his own access to power and influence. Boom.
Yeah. And that's what he does, is he's a profiteering opportunist. And what's recently came out is a series on YouTube by Jason Preston, I believe is his name, We the People podcast or something, who has going down the rabbit hole really deep into sexual ritual abuse. And there is evidence that it has happened and that it is in the church, based on a 1980s or 1990s Glenn Pace memo, which was leaked, identifying that an investigation internally found that it was going on. And so that podcast is going down this rabbit hole, trying to figure out, is this an institutional problem or is it creeps that are happen to be in the church using their positions of authority to get access to children. I haven't gone down that rabbit hole. I can't take on that and Tim Ballard at the same time. But I do know that Tim is an opportunist, and the success of that podcast, he's jumping on that bandwagon in the same way that he jumped on the Book of Mormon geography bandwagon back in 2013, which the whole Book of Mormon happening in the United States, that was a rising phenomenon that I was at front and center for. I made my whole TV show about, and that was gaining a lot of attention really fast. He jumped on that bandwagon to try and get access to an audience. I think he's just jumping on the Jason Preston, We the People bandwagon to try and get another audience, find some other religious crusade that's shocking, so shocking that it'll cause people to give you their money and shock them into wanting to know more. And that's what he's doing with Syria. That's what he's doing with the crisis. He just is looking for crises to exploit for his own benefit. Same thing in Ukraine. He went to Ukraine. As soon as the war started out, who shows up? Tim Ballard shows up in Ukraine and is there to be a savior of the Ukrainian children as well. And so it's just an opportunist trying to find an audience, because his audiences in the past are crashing and burning and turning on him.
Right. So what Tim says next shows where all of this is heading. He lays out the groundwork to sue the church, accusing them of not only silencing him, but enabling child traffickers by doing so. It's a dangerous escalation and one built almost entirely of his own conspiracy logic. But listen closely to how he frames himself as the one truly fighting for the children, and how the church now suddenly becomes part of the enemy. Mormon church isn't just spiritually or morally wrong or scripturally wrong, that they might be part of a criminal conspiracy under federal RICO laws. Tim is about to tell us that he answers directly to Jesus, and that the church decision to publicly distance themselves isn't just embarrassing. It's actually a violation that puts God, Congress, and every missing child in America on Tim's side. So let's hear how he tries to turn his excommunication into a federal case.
Go too deep into this, right? But it might not have been a full-on like stop, you know, but I didn't stop. They knew I was going to continue to go and right. And I know what I've been commanded to do, and I'm going to go and do it. Okay. I know I have a covenant with my Savior to rescue his children, and I'm not going to stop that, no matter who tells me to stop that. So understand that. So the Center for Freedom Act is going to go out, and it's going to empower Congress, empower the government to do something they've never done in exposing child sex slavery using the leverage of the sound of freedom. Okay. So now at that point, any efforts that are crazy off the wall, if any corporation or person lies or goes 200 million miles outside of their policy or scripture, even worse, it could go beyond a First Amendment issue.
you know, it could go beyond a first, like, we can do what we want. Well, not if you're connected to a conspiracy. RICO conspiracy means you don't have to know the whole thing. You could have just played a part. And if your part was going 200 million miles outside of your scripture and your, you know, policy, then people get to ask questions. Well, what were you up to? Why would you do something so bizarre, so outside the lane? What were you really up to? These are now questions that transcend the First Amendment argument of we can do what we want over here. We're private. No, it's not private anymore. If you have posed an affront to the U.S. Congress, which means to the people of the United States, which means to the children, countless, who need to be helped, now you got a problem. You got a problem with the people. You got a problem with God. You got a problem with Jesus, especially if you did it using his name and you become a lukewarm that needs to be vomited out. Okay. So there's problems all over the place.
Yeah. Let me connect the dots here, because it's hard to follow. Like, he's diarrhea of the mouth and it's hard to follow. He's saying that the RICO Act of the 1970s, which is the racketeering act against organized crime, which was put in place to implicate any person or business or organization that supported organized crime in some way, they were now able to prosecute the supporters of organized crime for the crimes that the organized crime committed. Follow? And so RICO laws, he is claiming that because Doug Anderson issued a statement against him, denouncing him, that has provided cover for pedophiles in other countries and gotten him kicked out of other countries and hampered his ability to save children. And by default, they are now, by default, or supporting the very traffickers he's trying to fight against by inhibiting him personally. And so he is structuring his legal argument to bring in the RICO Act to attack, sue, and criminally charge the church with racketeering and supporting the traffickers and sex offenders and pedophiles. And that is his legal precedent. Now, I don't think he's actually talked to a lawyer about this, because I can't imagine there's a lawyer out there that would make that connection. He himself says that it's 2 million miles or 200 million miles outside of the purview of the LES Church, which, yeah, I think the dots that he's trying to connect are also 200 million miles apart. But that's his legal argument. RICO Act applies to the Mormon Church because they're inhibiting him, and somehow they're inhibiting Congress from actually capturing and prosecuting traffickers. I don't know. Help me out there, because I don't know how that one stands either.
This thing is so complex. So at that point, after these things come out, within a day or two, I get a phone call from an insider, definite insider. I know 100%. He knows what's up in DC. He calls me and says, Tim, $10 million at least has been invested to destroy you, to make sure you can't be the senator, especially if you're attached to Trump. He's going to use you to rescue children all over the world, expose things people don't want exposed. And I said, what's it going to look like? He said, it's going to look like a bag of bricks. I'm freaking out. So I'm on this tour in Boston wondering, is it going to come from Mexico or cartels? Is it going to come from somewhere in DC? Is it going to come? I don't know. Well, it came from the last place I could possibly have imagined. It came from people inside the corporation of the church. Okay. Namely, Doug Anderson. Now, he's the voice. So who was directing him? I know a lot more than I'm probably going to say about who was behind it. But it came out as a statement to Vice News. Vice News, the anti-Jesus pro-pedophile magazine. Doug Anderson sends a statement to them that says,
I've actually personally talked with somebody high up in the PR department that I had a mutual friend with, who confirmed to me that the denouncement came directly from the top. Directly from the top. This was told to me directly by the person over reputation management for the church that works with Doug Anderson. And we had a mutual friend. And so I can confirm independently that it came from the very, very top. But what's more even like unbelievable in this conspiracy theory of Tim's is that he expects us to believe that $10 million was funneled to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints so that they would issue the statement and take him out politically. I mean, we're talking about an organization that has over $100 billion in cash, and they can be bought off for $10 million to denounce their number one book author that never did anything wrong, their, you know, ambassador to evangelical Christianity, that's all it takes. That's pretty laughable.
Yes. What's funny, Tim Ballard thinks that $10 million would get the church to do anything. I don't think they take orders from pocket change, but Tim thinks that he has a bulletproof narrative to deny any accountability. The worse he looks, the holier he becomes. It's a very predictable pattern when institutions finally set boundaries and narcissists will call it persecution. Tim cannot process that. Tim cannot process a simple truth that he was cut off because he became a liability and the church acted like a corporation, kind of how it always does. So Tim recites scripture about noblemen and vineyards and unrighteous dominion talk, and upon my house it shall begin, from my house it shall go forth. All of that where he's trying to turn the church and scriptures and verses into a legal case. This is crazy man cult leader 101. If the church disciplines him, that's a prophecy fulfilled. If anyone else comes out against him, that's prophecy fulfilled even harder. Every outcome is proof that he's chosen. It's kind of fascinating in the same way that like a perpetual motion machine is fascinating because it's conceptually cool, but physically impossible. You know, you feel me? However, the bigger tragedy of it all is that there are real issues. There's real exploitation. There are real children who become props in the myth of Prophet Tim Ballard. So let's go to Tim talking about how much he still thinks that he's winning.
They put me for criminal investigations, multiple lawsuits from women and people I've never even met before. This was the $10 million, right? Paying for all this.
Right.
And they knew they were sending me into that. Okay. And they sent me in with two legs and one arm tied behind your back. Everybody's LDS. The jury pools are LDS. The criminal investigators are LDS, right? So the LDS coming out, the LDS church saying this about me disadvantaged me insanely as I fought. Now I won. Okay. I won. And on July 28th, the judge pretty much ended everything. The other ones are going to trickle out later.
No, he has not won anything. He's implying that he was exonerated, that a trial happened and the evidence showed that he did not sexually assault anybody. None of that has happened. His lawyers fought really hard to get the case against to get the case dismissed because of procedural error on how Celeste Boris and her lawyers obtained emails that were embarrassing to them that had nothing to do with the sexual assault. Well, they're just embarrassing. They're just financial documents. You know, I think there was a contract in there between that was part of Tim's OUR settlement that had attorney-client privilege on it or something that should have been private, and some blessings by Tom Harrison prophesying he's going to be a president of the United States and prophet of the church, things like that. I'm not totally sure of what documents that they considered to be stolen, but it was a procedural error that they weren't found during the course of discovery in the case, but they were obtained before that. And so the case was dismissed on procedural error. And so the evidence against him being a sexual predator was never presented, was never heard, was never went to trial. So he did not win. He has not been exonerated. And that is just one of five sexual assault allegations that are moving through the court system right now. And Celeste Boris's dismissal by that judge, there's a statement from one of the lawyers, Charisse, on the legal team that was recently issued, in which they describe that they're appealing it and are very hopeful that it will be overturned by the Utah Supreme Court and sent back down to the lower courts. So he has not gotten a win. He's gotten like small victories. His wife, Catherine, was dismissed from one of the lawsuits or several of them because she wasn't a party to what he did to these women, things like that. But if he wants his followers to think that he's winning these cases and he's being exonerated, no, he hasn't been exonerated of anything. In fact, the legal challenges against him are continuing to pile up. Just 2 months ago, an entirely separate group in California that worked with him and OUR filed their own lawsuit alleging fraud and all sorts of other criminal behavior. Also, just within the last couple of months, the government of Argentina has accused him, indicted him on espionage and trying to influence person in the justice ministry, as well as 23 accounts, I believe, of other abuses. And his partner with Ariel Recovery was pretending to be part of the CIA, falsely impersonating a law enforcement officer from the United States government. I mean, it's a whole list of different charges from Argentina. And if that's how he was acting in Argentina, there are probably a dozen other countries that have the same experience with him. And I wouldn't be surprised if further charges from other countries, including the U.S. government, came forward in coming weeks, months, years. So
when you hear him say the truest organizations have the most evil infiltrators, and now he's being used by God in ways that he never thought possible, what does he mean?
Pure delusion. I mean, grasping at straws for explanations that absolve him of his guilt in everything that he's done to create this entire situation. It's just as simple as that. Total delusion. Yeah, he thinks God's on his side, that God's protecting him. He's got a lot of lawyers and put millions of dollars into his defense fund, and he hasn't been exonerated of anything. In fact, he just keeps digging a hole deeper, and this whole suing the church and going after them now is pure act of desperation. And I don't know how this is going to go well for him. I really don't. But somewhere in his brain, he sees this path that's he's going to come out, I guess, probably president of the United States and president of Mormon Church at the end of this. And this is, he's on this path. He's consulting with Tom Harrison regularly, from what I've been told, on how to get to those prophesied ends.
Those prophesied ends are what's so fascinating, and it's so Mormon, it's so American. It works because his audience has always rewarded the man who declares himself the last honest prophet standing against a sea of corruption, right? But similar to other false prophets, he's not cleansing Christ's one true church. He's laundering his own reputation through it. Is this really your best strategy, Tim? Screaming that the church has been infiltrated in this way and that's going to inoculate you from scrutiny? Because we're still here recording the podcast. I think I've seen this film before and I didn't like the ending. And that, unfortunately, is the most Mormon ending imaginable. A man is so desperate to be a hero that he canonizes his own downfall as he rewrites his sins into his religious mythology with himself at the crux. Tim is the ultimate, if you can't be the savior, sue the savior type of con man, when his sins are just too public to hide and the only way to survive is to retell them as scripture, placing himself in the center of the religion that he's burning down. Is he calling out corruption or is he inventing it so he's never the villain in his own story? Well, gee whiz, thanks for joining me on this episode, Ryan.
It's all right. Okay, that's a wrap.
Everyone, leave a like and a comment telling Ryan what a superstar he is for breaking all of this down for us.
No, the crazy town just keeps going. It's just getting crazier and crazier. So if you made it this far, just wading through this mental gymnastics of explanations from him, hats off to you. It's fun. It's disturbing. It's fun. I've laughed so hard at some of these explanations. I'm glad that we're at a place now we can laugh. It's gotten so ridiculous that it's actually hilarious on occasion, because these are really serious things. I don't mean to make light of them, but some of them are just so batshit crazy that you can't help but just laugh at this guy.
If you're sitting there thinking, hot damn, this is wild, it is. And digging into this mess takes a ton of time and labor that the church and Tim would really prefer us not to do. So if you want to help keep shaking the foundation of all of this, telling the truth, all the support links are below. Patreon has some bolder stuff that YouTube can't handle, so check us out over there. I love getting bolder, so let me know what you think of this final hot take for November 2025. When a leader tells you that you are constantly surrounded by enemies, fill in the blank, it makes you scared. And when you're scared, you are more willing to let powerful people take control, break the rules to keep you safe. Think about what's going on in America. Think about Tim Ballard, how he ran his sex trafficking missions. Think about Tim's own argument against the church right now. When a leader tells you that you are constantly surrounded by enemies, again, fill in your own blank here. The goal is to make you scared. Once you're scared, you're more willing to let powerful people take control over your life, let them break the rules that are going to supposedly keep you safe. Be very cautious with anyone who makes you feel like everyone outside of you and your in-group is unsafe. Tim Ballard's story isn't special or unique. It's just one example of a bigger pattern that I see. So if you care about democracy and you care about freedom, stop falling for heroes and martyrs and prophets who have this really tricky, counterintuitive answers to everything. We have to stop believing anyone who tells us that we should fear our neighbors and a system that puts in place chosen heroes on a pedestal. And when they are no longer useful, either because they got caught committing rape or having a conscience regarding genocide, the same system will push them out and replace them with somebody new. If we don't collectively wake up and stop trusting big promises without big evidence, then powerful groups, opportunists, sacks of trash will keep using these types of frightening stories to take away rights, punish people who look or believe differently, control our country and levers of power using fear and religion. And Tim Ballard shows us exactly how that process works. Thank you so much for joining me. Leave a like, leave a comment, and I will see you next time on Timmy Dare What.